preferred talk-ons. Bill, Josh, how are you now?
I'm pretty good. I don't know about you, fine. Keith. You look like death.
I'm so hungover right now.
Yesterday was the end of our baseball season, so Keith went on a bender.
Well, what happened was we all had these really expensive...
You sound like you're recording an audiobook right now.
Expensive,
what happened was...
Bottles of champagne
like
left
the guy
over.
Parks and Rec.
I'm Darren Burbles. Welcome back to Thoughts for Your Thoughts.
All right, sorry,
well,
go ahead.
It's true, because I'm trying not to, put my head through this fucking window to end it all. No, I'm not going to use that. Thank you. It started with the champagne.
As it always does with Keith.
And I easily drank a bottle of it.
Goes down easy.
And then we went to the bar where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to have beer. It's too filling. I'm going to have whiskey.
That's a good mix.
So that happened. We had fun. But then I came home and it was about 12:30 and I knew I had to work today. But I was like, you know what? I'm hungry. And like some fucking animal, I made a steak sandwich.
Nice.
But I didn't use like a cutting board to like cut it up. I just literally took a steak, warmed it up, cut it in half, ate the other half in my hand, and put it in between two pieces of bread.
You're like a raccoon.
Ate it. And then I watched the new Dark Crystal series on Netflix.
Dark, what's that about?
Have you not seen the Dark Crystal movie?
No.
No. Never even heard of that.
Wait.
I haven't heard of it either.
I'm sorry. You've never heard of the Dark Crystal?
It doesn't sound like something I'd be interested in.
Your movie choices are a lot different than mine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Classic Jim Henson production?
No idea.
I fucking hate everything. Anyway, if you guys are interested and really like Jim Henson, they come back in a big way, this Netflix
series. He's the Muppets guy, right?
Yeah. But it harkens back to like my childhood. Because I'm an 80s baby.
You old.
When animatronics and stuff were, like, not CGI, it's a lot better. So I was very happy with that.
Well, Keith's having a tough day, but not as tough of a day as Tennessee fans.
Ooh. Well, they've had a couple days to
can I talk some week one?
Well,
yeah, I mean, to be fair, Bill, every day is a tough day to be a Tennessee fan.
That's also true.
Also true.
I mean, this isn't the 90s anymore. So, like,
correct.
It's going to be rough.
In one of my tweets of the week that we share later, it kind of ties in everything. So, there's a Tennessee joke. There's a Bama joke. So, it's good stuff. Anyway, how'd your team do week one?
Jokes.
Yeah.
That's also the other reason.
1-0.
1-0.
Because my team
is not 1-0.
Huge dick. And of course,
we're going to hit the explicit tag hard on this episode.
Of course.
Sorry, Josh's parents.
Of course, I had to play Michigan State's defense. I mean,
who got as many points as Cedric Bird did for you?
Yeah. Granted, they're not always going to play Tulsa, but did they really have to rub it in that hard? Like, couldn't Tulsa just like
scrounge that was wild.
Out something?
No.
No.
Of course not.
They just got beat down even harder. But luckily enough, MSU offense looked just the same as normal.
Yeah, but that doesn't help you in fantasy.
Well,
unless the guy you're playing has like Connor Hayward or something.
No, but I mean, it's good for half of our staff and Sparty Matt knowing that all these offensive changes have amounted to nothing.
Yeah,
it's still week one.
Yeah,
week one.
Change.
They scored 10 points against Tulsa.
Still week one.
10 points against Tulsa.
He's getting closer and closer to the microphone.
You understand how bad that is?
Okay, who else on your team did okay, Keith?
Oklahoma State for me.
Nobody. Everybody who possibly could have shot the bed for me. So Holt Naylor's got grand old 6 points, was it?
He was also playing NC State.
Hang on, okay. It wasn't slated to be a good week for him anyway, so like I'm not mad at him. And
just disappointed in him.
I'm just disappointed. And it should get better because, the other thing too is like Josh just alluded to, it's still week one. So people are still working out their kinks. Season's still pretty long, but I'm going to give him one more week to incubate. And
to wincubate?
Wincubate.
That sounds dirty. All right, let's move on.
Wow, Bill.
Let's move on.
He's going to lead down a dark path. But yeah, he... see. Yeah, 7.5 points. 39 attempts, 22 completions, 168 pass yards, one interception, and was sacked 3 times.
So a lot of that's what bugs me about the NCAA, is that sack yards against quarterback totals.
He still had a positive yardage at 11.
Oh, wow. Ooh, sweet. 11 yards.
Yeah.
Go ham.
I'm not very happy. I wasn't very happy.
Josh, how's your team?
Oh, we're 1-0. I didn't play Rice.
Let's get away from Eeyore over here.
Played Ross, though.
Did you play Rice or Ross?
I played Ross.
Okay.
Like Forrest plays Rice. This
Mountaineer week. Ross asked me specifically to tell the listeners that he is making changes to his team, and he apologizes for drafting so many West Virginia people. He's already dropped Giovanni Haskins. He's benching Kennedy McCoy. Changes are coming.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you pick Adrian Martinez with your first pick, kind of digging your own grave there.
Yeah, for me it was – they either played really well or they didn't do much at all. Spencer Sanders, 33. Brock Purdy, 20. Tylan Wallace, 23.
Iowa State had to escape with their lives.
They did. That was a great game.
One of the games of the weekend.
You can never overlook Northern Iowa.
No. One of the best FCS schools.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome week one game.
Absolute triple overtime. Northern Iowa probably should have gone for two when they scored the touchdown, the second overtime. But we're not a game theory podcast. We're a fantasy football podcast.
Right.
So Josh, carry on.
Hey, survive in advance. I'm still ahead in that lemon bed now. that would have been a tough week one.
It was fun to watch. Because
they would have had to
squirm.
Run the table. Because what was it? If no, be 7-1 going into
if, or 7-1 I win, 7-2
it's a wash.
It's a wash. Wait, or no, 8-1. 8-1, 7-2.
That wasn't lemon.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's lemon bet.
You said they had one loss.
He gave me two losses for his wash.
No, he said one loss.
It's written down somewhere. We'll just check it later.
It's somewhere.
He's vacillating now because he realizes.
No, that's what it was. Because I remember. I'm still confident in it. Mm. I'm gonna be okay.
Yeah, you sound real confident. You looked real confident on Saturday.
Well, hey, week one. It'll be all right.
It's week one. It's early for everybody.
Yeah. Bill, how about you?
What about you?
A week of extremes. Mason Fine and Nathan Rourke both did really well. Granted, they were playing not great FCS schools. Running backs did pretty well. Josh O'Kelly was apparently a healthy scratch. he didn't play at all against Cincinnati, so I was bummed about that. My wide receivers, I owed Jimmy an apology because I made fun of him for drafting Nick Westbrook, and my 3 wide receivers got less than Nick Westbrook did in one game. So, week 2, I'm looking at finding some wide receivers to get some help. I picked up Omar Bayless from Arkansas State, who had 4 touchdowns of his own in week 1. And I'm still kind of seeking out the matchups to see which wide receiver I should start because my 3 that I have now are also playing all FCS schools. So,
it's a lot of that this week.
It's week 1 and 2 is weird. Keith brought up a good point before we started recording that there's not a lot of time in the college football season to let your guys figure it out. Like, they got to produce or get cut.
Right.
And against FCS schools, we don't always have the luxury of knowing who is going to produce and who's going to just beat lower competition.
Right.
So that's a tough one. Like, DeMonte Coxie for Memphis. Okay-ish game. I think he had a handful of catches. But that was also against the Mississippi defense. So is that just how their game plan is going to be, or – is he not a primary target?
Well,
who knows?
Another thing that I didn't bring up was the people that I picked up this week.
Well, my secondary question, we do around and say, what are the changes to your team for this week and the foreseeable future?
Right, but to double off your point, I have already dropped Caleb Evans because he scored horrendously against Grambling State.
Yeah, that's not a good team to...
And I can't afford to sit there and wait for him to be a boomer bust guy.
Mm-hmm.
I need something more solid, but I'm also going to kind of eat and crow here pretty soon because I picked another kind of boomer bust guy. But
who's that?
Jacob Newman.
Woo!
Jamie Newman.
Woo!
Of course.
Josh, disrespected him. Your quarterback so much. You called him Jacob Newman.
Yeah, I dropped him.
You did. Thank you.
He had a great game against Utah State. Another
great game.
Another chance for game of the weekend.
401 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a 72% completion rating.
He's going to get so many touches in that offense. They have the most slow developing like zone read that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But I mean, clearly it works. I don't know how good Utah State's defense is in the grand scheme of college football. But side note, Chubb Hub, Dylan's team, he had the top scoring team in the of the week.
Yeah.
But he started Utah State's defense, who got him 1 point. So he could have honestly like doubled some people's scores.
Who was this?
Dylan, didn't he start?
No, started Michigan State's defense.
Michigan State. That's why
who's,
I lost.
Who started Utah State's defense?
So it was Jimmy's team who had Utah State.
Yeah, it was my dumb butt who was playing him.
Well,
I knew I saw it somewhere.
Uh-oh.
Well, Utah State got a grand total of 1 point.
You did
so,
a bill.
So thank you, Jimmy, for starting a not great week on the defense. LSU's defense did great for me.
Yeah. How did they do?
Fewer than 100 yards allowed, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 picks, 3 points allowed. So that's a total of 33 points, which I figured is fine because it makes up for Joshua Kelly not playing and Brian Edwards getting 1 catch for 7 yards,
okay.
Who is also on my all-B team and not good. I have a couple other pending transactions that I don't want to share right now because they've gone through. I don't want
wait. Did you just do it? Like, are you
like
are
20
you...
minutes ago?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, why are they still going through? Is because somebody else dropped them, so they have to wait for waivers? Because everybody should be free agent right now. You should just be able to pick up.
I believe it is because someone.
Oh, because someone dropped them. It would.
I don't want to say anything else.
It's not Corral, is it? Because that
no.
Ole Miss offense.
It's not him.
Looked. Awful.
Yeah, looked pretty bad.
Awful against
Memphis.
Memphis.
Not a defensive juggernaut. Memphis.
Yeah, he's going to struggle. So I believe your next question was going to be, who did you add and drop this week?
Yes. Yep.
So my add drops were I added Jamie Newman and
– Jacob Newman.
Jamie Newman and Jacob Eason.
Oh, that's where the Jacob
that's
came
why
from
I
in
keep
your head.
Getting
okay.
them mixed up because I'm dyslexic and dumb. Jacob Eason from Washington, who I was – actually kind of surprised he was still available because I figured
Evan would have grabbed him
first.
Husky Homer.
But
ooh, new team name.
Ooh, there you go. And then I also picked up Wisconsin's defense because they're playing my Central Michigan Chippewas.
Don't expect a lot of offense out of them today.
They are going to get Orobo pounded pretty hard in that game. They looked good their first game. And they won, but they're facing a Big Ten defense on the road. It's going to get real ugly.
Yeah.
It'll be cool to see the jump around, though, for all the Central fans and my friends who are still working there. So that'll be pretty cool. But, yeah, those are my addresses.
Is it in Madison?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why do you think we paid Wisconsin to come play us?
They were just at South Florida, maybe.
No, Wisconsin's like, hey. Let's we want a tune-up game after our Florida adventures. So
seriously,
here's a mil. Come play us.
Come get those ass clapped.
Well,
Josh.
No drops, no pickups.
Pretty confident.
Not a whole lot of change. Brock Purdy's got a bye. He's sitting. Kurt Mayer did not play this week. He's questionable for next week. He is sitting.
Well, you did have an ad drop.
That was before the week started, though.
Right, but you could. What was that?
I dropped Jamie Newman.
Okay, and who else? You had two, didn't you?
No, I just dropped Jamie Newman.
Oh, okay.
And so Kurt Merritt will be benched because I don't know if he's playing as questionable. I'm going to sit him down, and then I am putting JoJo Ward in from Hawaii because there's no way Cedric Bird scores 4 touchdowns again.
I hope he does know.
Well, what do you mean there's no way?
They're playing Oregon State.
It already happened.
Playing Oregon State?
At home.
Oh, no. Well, that's good happened. And bad. Well, JoJo Ward will get touches, but.
He'll get a lot of touches.
Yeah.
Cedric
touches
still gonna
and
score.
Watch Cedric Bird just cradle him into the end zone.
You just hope that they, game plan around Cedric Bird specifically.
Yeah, so that he gets.
Go to JoJo
yes.
Ward, but I don't know if Oregon State has the capacity to actually execute that game plan.
That is
actually,
a Pac-12 well after.
That's a
straight after midnight game.
That's a straight up midnight kickoff.
Yeah.
That's great.
Let me answer that for you, Bill. They don't.
Yes, they do not. As we saw last week when Tylan Wallace ran for you know, 200 yards after each catch. So here, I need your opinion on these.
Ooh.
We get an opinion. My array of FCS opponents.
Okay.
DeAndre Swift is starting against Murray State. Probably going to keep him in. My three wide receivers here. DeMonte Coxie versus Southern. Bryan Edwards versus Charleston Southern. And Emeka Emezi versus Western Carolina. Should I try to find someone else in the ad drop? Or do you think those matchups are friendly enough that they'll get enough touches?
I think they're good.
They're friendly enough. It's just we talked about earlier how much they're actually going to play in those games.
And if when you amass a lead, you don't keep throwing the ball. Everyone's going to start running it. Right. So I don't know. Josh, did you also see that Patrick Taylor Jr. is listed as out this week?
I saw him listed as – right now he's still active. I didn't see that he was out yet.
Literally an hour ago it was announced that he's been listed as out. So
cool. That will be another change for me then.
Do you have any news about KJ Costello?
I haven't heard anything.
Because he didn't come back to the game after that hit.
I think he's missing this week.
Okay. He's missing?
He's out injured this week.
They can't find him.
They can't find him. They don't know where he went.
Well,
they're very concerned.
If you watch that game.
Even he doesn't know where he's at right now.
Still.
We'll be putting in Greg McRae then from Central Florida over Patrick Taylor.
I think that'd be a good pick because they're playing FAU's bad defense.
And then, everyone knows JT Daniels.
Yeah, he gone. That sucks.
Yeah. So much for the USC Trojans.
Well, I was going to say that was one of my bullet points. Is like, as if it wasn't an uphill battle already for USC and Clay Helton. Mm-hmm. Now you're losing your quarterback who is having a really good game against a good defense. And they have to play Stanford now with a true freshman. Behind center.
Who knows?
Things are going to go great for USC.
He could be good, but it's also USC.
It's also USC. He could have like an amazing first half just because there's no film on him, and then Stanford's going to figure it out because they're smart, and then he's going to have no idea what to do.
Bunch of nerds with a terrible mascot.
Yeah, seriously. Bunch of weirdos. Well, now that we're talking week one, can we talk a little bit more about the Stanford-Northwestern game?
Yeah,
go for it, Bill.
It was just so Stanford Northwestern. It was everything that I'd ever hoped it to be. Multiple times. There was one that they'd punt from the opposing 40-yard line. Like, come on. Try a little bit. Just be a little weird, you know? Take after Purdue and just be super weird. Although Purdue lost to Nevada. But just be weird.
Speaking of great games. Weird.
Here's a tweet. First six possessions of this game. Downs, interception, punt, 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 punt. First eight possessions of the second half were fumble, fumble, miss field goal, punt, interception, miss field goal, punt, punt. And then I took Northwestern to cover 6.5, and they fumbled in the end zone for Stanford to recover with like 4 minutes to go, and Stanford covered. So mad. That was the Stanford Northwestern game.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
Brought to you by my anger.
A very angry.
That's the thing. It was still entertaining just because it was like a combination of the offense not doing anything and defenses not letting them do anything and then punting at the 39-yard line. It was wild.
Hey, they're all smarter than we are. Well, power in that room or in that stadium.
We already knew that. And that's not including the 30 fans that showed up, too.
it took a while for that Houston-Oklahoma game to get going, didn't it?
It took a while for Houston to get going. Oklahoma had no problem.
Can we talk about Jalen Hurts? Now he's going to win the Heisman Trophy.
The Lincoln Riley Trophy. We're officially rebranding that trophy because
the Lincoln Riley Trophy.
Yeah, if Jalen Hurts does win it, we got to have a conversation.
Here's the crazy thing. 23 attempts.
Jalen Hurts had 23 attempts?
Attempts.
Passing or rushing?
Passing.
Right.
Just 23.
What do you have, like three incompletions?
Yep.
Yeah.
For 332 yards. 23 attempts. And then Trey, passing touchdowns, and 16 rushing attempts for 176 yards. Like,
not a bad day at the office.
Over 500 total yards and six touchdowns.
Jeez.
Woo!
Sparty Matt should become Sooner Matt, because holy crap, that was an an amazing performance. And honestly, given the rest of the defenses, I don't know if Jalen Hurts is going to slow down.
In the Big 12? No.
Other than when they play TCU and maybe Iowa State.
Yeah. I mean, that auto draft really worked for him.
It really did. Maybe I did my draft wrong, because maybe I should just forget I'm in the league and just pick 8 quarterbacks and try to kind of pull out what you can. But that led me to another tweet of the week that I'm going to read here. This is from at @Zach_Barnett, writer for Football Scoop. When Houston forced an OU punt at the 4:10 mark of the fourth quarter, it ended a streak of 137 minutes and 57 seconds of game action between opponent punts. So Houston had not forced a punt in over 2 straight games. That's 25 total possessions, 19 touchdowns, 3 fumble recoveries, 2 missed field goals, and 1 and a half.
Wow.
So I feel like this more than any has the opponent strength caveat, but still, he looked really good. Take it as you may.
I'm taking it. I'm thinking about it. Sounds really good.
I think it might be time to start talking trades with Sparty Matt.
He's got enough quarterbacks.
Get some Jalen Hurts. Well, unfortunately, my strongest positions are offering quarterbacks.
Yeah. Who would you offer him?
You want DeMonte Coxey? You got 3 catches on the year, bud.
Ooh, I might do a. Hey, you want Cedric Bird?
That's a hell of a thing to dangle in his face. I know he'd go for that too.
I know.
Because he loves the shiny stuff. He likes the tinfoil and the quarters under cars and yeah. If you dangled Cedric Bird.
Though I may have to do it pretty soon. I have to do it before we release this podcast, because I don't want him to listen to this.
That's true.
He's going to do it right now.
Oh, he probably wouldn't understand, yeah.
No, I mean, he just... That's Matt, true. If you're listening to this...
You're must.
Text me that I'm a doo-doo bird. Right now. Right when you listen to it. And then I'll tweet out when you confirm me whether you're listening or not.
Florida State lost again.
And they blamed conditioning and dehydration at a home game. It's humid out there.
That bothers me so much, because that's essentially the coaching staff going, yeah, we're really bad at our jobs.
Now,
the only thing that you should be doing as a coach, I'm trying really hard to not
I saw your mouth go into an F.
Cussing, but the only thing you should be concerned about is conditioning. And well, what? Did you not hear water?
Not the only thing.
Anyway, a monkey could call a play.
I will say.
A child could hold up a coloring book to a child and pick out a play.
Okay.
And it'd probably work if you were conditioned enough and you had better enough athletes.
I will say, they are learning the ways of Kendall Briles as their offensive coordinator, who is literally the fastest pace offensive coordinator in the country.
Yeah, but how is this a surprise?
That's the thing. It's not like he was hired a week ago. He had all summer to figure it out.
All summer in the Florida humidity.
Right. Not
feed these guys some water. Really feed them some Gatorade.
Yeah. I'm not going to go as harsh as Keith.
Good for Boise too, though.
Good for Boise. 30 down to like 21-6 and coming back to win.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Florida State also changed their play calling to be super conservative in the second half. And Boise State fumbled on the 3-yard line and 2 Florida State players failed to pick it up. That's not conditioning. I'll say that. Staying in the state of Florida, I don't normally like doing these talk radio hot takes. Is Charlie Strong seat getting a little hot?
A little bit.
He's lost now 7 games in a row and did not look remotely competitive against Wisconsin.
Yeah, that game was a shit show.
I mean,
they went for the sad field goal with like 3 minutes to go and missed. That's,
I don't know.
Not a good look.
I would also put it this way. I mean, it's Wisconsin's a very good Big Ten team.
And Jonathan Taylor just did
Jonathan Taylor is going to take his hang down and beat you to death with it.
Jesus.
Every time he gets the ball handed to him. I mean, that's just what it is. But I don't think it's that hot.
You're at home. You've had weeks to prepare. How are you not even scoring?
Wasn't a conditioning problem.
No, yeah. See, those players are fine.
Jonathan Taylor was clearly conditioned well enough because he ran for
Oh, Wisconsin apparently also learned the forward pass and used that quite a bit.
Amazing.
Jonathan Taylor caught 2 touchdowns.
I know.
That doesn't happen in Madison, Wisconsin. What the hell is going on?
Bill's freaking out.
I am freaking out.
I loved it.
It's like we just transitioned into a new dimension because Wisconsin can use the forward pass now. You know what Florida State needed was Alex Hornibrook. We're bringing this all together, Wisconsin and Florida State all together.
He might get his chance.
He very well could. Can you imagine Alex Hornibrook running a Kendall Briles offense?
That sense alone kind of like hurts my mind a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
It's like Stephen Three trying to run a Rich Rod offense.
That ended pretty well.
They were 3-9.
That was the joke, Josh. Hey, they did beat 5th-ranked Wisconsin, though.
That's true.
Pre-Jonathan Taylor. Although I bet an 8-year-old Jonathan Taylor could have run for 200 yards on Michigan's defense that year.
Yep.
Back to Charlie Strong. They face a very bad Georgia Tech team this week. So I think you got to see a lot of improvement.
I mean, I think it'll get there. Again, you could say it's week one. Yeah, you've had weeks to prepare.
But we're starting
to see.
We're starting to see the Charlie Strong track record, though. He was overmatched week in and week out of Texas. He started really well at USF. We all know what happened last year. And now it's just, I mean, they're not going to lose to South Carolina Upstate when they play them in week three. If they do, then it's a very different conversation
That's a different conversation. I mean,
And I love Charlie Strong. I love what he stands for. I think he's a tremendous person and a tremendous leader of young men. Don't know if being a head coach of a football team is his gig. I'd love for him to be Michigan's DC after Don Brown retires. That's for sure. Don't know if head coach. I think just Texas might have been too much too fast, and he's just all on his own head now. So he was great at Louisville.
Great.
I don't know. There's USF's got to turn something around. We got to have Kelsey on the show next week to talk the Bulls.
Yep. Yeah. I mean,
and Central Florida.
I think.
Right. Not Bulls.
A major.
Kelsey's favorite team, Central Florida.
Central Florida.
Kelsey, if you're listening, to text me that I'm a doo-doo bird right now.
I think they will. I also like Charlie Strong, and yes.
It's hard not to like Charlie
Strong. It's hard not to like him, but.
Granted, we're also not Texas fans.
But when you're at Texas, though, that's a whole, that environment is totally separate than any other college job because you have your own network.
Yeah.
You're arguably the biggest program in Texas.
In terms of revenue, they're the biggest program in the country.
Biggest program, yes.
Constantly in the limelight.
You're in Texas.
Right.
So you're in the heartland of
anything you do,
football,
is under the microscope.
Everything.
Yeah.
So
national
taking
stage,
a job like that.
Every single week.
Yeah.
Taking a job like that, I think that's a whole different set of circumstances than a USF job.
Well, yeah, but.
He's got to win at USF.
Yeah, exactly. He's not doing that.
Again, I don't think many teams had a chance against Wisconsin.
It makes me feel great that Michigan opens the Big Ten season with Wisconsin.
On the road.
In Madison.
Let's go.
Sweet. That will be
sweet.
I think that'll be the.
I'm glad I got my facing Jonathan Taylor in fantasy out of the way right now, and I don't have to see him again. Unless, for some reason, our scheduling permits that I play Jimmy in the regular season. I'm not making the playoffs, Keith.
Come on, Bill.
You want to know.
Yeah.
Take it 1 week at a time.
Your record's better than me. Mine.
Fair point.
Record by me. God, I'm an idiot.
And then my last bullet point on week one, lol, Tennessee. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we really need to go into any more depth of Tennessee?
Can I do my last tweet of the week now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hang on. I closed the app because I'm an idiot, so let me.
Okay.
Let me get that real quick.
That side of the SEC is really up for grabs.
Final tweet of the week comes to you from an account called at Karen E. Howell. She has nothing in her bio. I don't know if she's a writer, a journalist, or just a fan. But
probably a big listener.
Shout out Karen E. Howell. Butch Jones woke up, read about the Tennessee game, smiled a little, and then added a second layer of wax to Nick Saban's car. That's an A-plus tweet, if you ask me.
Dang.
Great one to wrap up
she's
on.
She single?
I don't know. I'm not going to ask via Twitter because we only have 30 followers now.
Okay.
Let's go. I don't want us to get blocked and canceled.
Okay. Any press is good press.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
Okay. So that was your final bullet point. I do have one question.
Yes.
For both of you.
Okay.
What was one week one game that everyone was looking at thinking, oh, this is going to be great, and ended up being a big stinker?
Oh, geez. I think they're actually...
Do you have your watchability ratings for week one?
You'll need to look through the folder.
Okay.
A game that was great, or we thought was good, but actually stunk?
Yeah, like we thought everyone was like, oh, we're looking at this game.
Well, I picked USF to cover against Wisconsin, and then that game didn't happen whatsoever.
As a game itself, the Holy War wasn't all that great. Utah-BYU.
Yeah.
Utah got out to a comfortable lead, and then BYU just did everything they could and then just threw pick six after pick six. I did not watch as much of Oregon-Auburn as I was hoping to, so I'm not can't speak on that one for sure.
That game was great.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
I know everyone's hailing Bo Nix as the next great quarterback in the SEC.
That's such an SEC name, Bo.
Bo Nix.
Bo Nix.
I don't know. Northwestern Stanford was exactly what we expect. That was the other one I was really looking forward to watching.
That was a good.
Oh, Toledo, Kentucky was kind of let down. I was hoping Toledo would be able to hold on a little more, but is week one not in there?
I don't see week one.
Okay. I must not have printed out week one. I do have week two watchability rankings, though.
Yes.
Mizzou in Wyoming was awesome. That was a pleasant surprise. Boise State, Florida State was better than we were expecting, and I was still expecting a good game. Duke, Alabama was more of a blowout than we were expecting, which is somehow possible. I'll say the Holy War was my disappointment of the week.
Disappointment.
Yeah.
Josh, do you have a disappointment of the week?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the South Florida would play better than what they did against Wisconsin.
At least score.
Yeah, at least make it
interesting
or something. So I would go with that one.
Virginia Pitt was also not as close as I was hoping to.
Yeah.
I was expecting that to be like a Northwestern Stanford junior.
It was a close first half, and then Virginia kind of pulled away later on. Yeah. But
Virginia covered pretty easily.
Very happy. Love Virginia. Virginia's back.
Keith, your team is... Who's Keith's team?
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Why are you rooting for Virginia there, guy?
I love Virginia.
Okay, fair enough. Well, did you have one?
Nothing that really pops out in my mind, I would say.
This one was tough because we had a lot of... We talked about this last week quite a bit. There aren't a ton of like incredibly attractive week one matchups, whether I said it's because of the scheduling now, you guys didn't, but there's kind of like pseudo rivalries in week one. So like Colorado, Colorado State, Holy War, a couple others that I'm not thinking of right now, but like South Carolina, North Carolina, like we didn't. Okay. Yeah. They're rivalries in name only. But the football wasn't all that close. Although North Carolina did beat South Carolina. I was not expecting that at all. Good for you, Mac Brown. I don't know. Week one just feels like a way to do a non-conference rivalry game that you can't do in your regular schedule anymore. You know?
How about Illinois, eh?
Yeah.
Are they back?
Is Illinois back?
Were they ever here?
hey, 2007 Rose Bowl, Juice Williams. All I need to say on that guy.
Did they win that game? No, they lost, right?
Oh, yeah, they lost.
They got killed.
It's Illinois football. My last week one recap, I 63% success rate on my bets this week.
58%.
And 4 out of 6 on my locks.
Hey, Bill.
That's the best week I'll do all year. Let's quit while we're ahead.
If we bet money, we would have won some this week.
A little bit.
Speaking of which.
Not losing money.
Did you win any money?
I didn't end up. I was looking at a bunch of different betting sites. I didn't end up actually.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of us were watching football and drinking and being social, and he was just on every.
Because I wanted to get into it. I wanted to get into it, but
were you really actually like buried in your computer
for like a half hour?
Josh, if you're going to be buried in your computer, at least be producing content.
I was trying to find betting stuff so you guys could figure out how much money I lose, but
it's classic Josh to do it after kickoffs have started.
Yeah, I know. I should have anything ready to go. Thursday kickoff, it kind of threw me for a loop. So,
did you settle on a particular site at all?
No free ads.
Well, no free ads. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I think so. The one that accepts the least amount of money.
Saying that because we could start baking this into a thing.
There you go.
Where we check your balance.
Oh, our round table.
Our round
table. Yeah, betting. I'm willing to put money into a betting site for that.
We can use the money we get from Anchor. Shout out Anchor.
Thanks, Anchor.
bet on games.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what we're going to do.
All right.
New segment every week.
We'll start that in 2020.
Start that week three.
I mean, I'll throw a couple your way just to make it fun.
Yeah. So
that would be pretty fun.
We're going to be doing some over-unders here in a little bit. So.
Especially if I can hit the 64% mark that I got last week.
Yeah.
Well, I just – that FIU lock was just bad. They lost by 40. I had them to cover by 2.
So can you go through your logic and thinking that
– Well, last year FIU won 9 games, mostly by defense.
Mm-hmm.
I figured that would show up and keep it close. I didn't think they'd give up like 47 or whatever it was to Tulane. But, hey, Tulane's fun.
Hey.
One of the best logos in college football.
That's true.
Little angry wave holding the megaphone.
And they do a lot of fun stuff with their uniforms. I'll give Tulane that.
Yeah, I do. It's New Orleans. It's Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras, baby.
Yeah. All right. Anything else for week one talk?
Not really.
Fantasy or games slated?
Fantasy-wise, obviously, quarterbacks, biggest disappointments were Tommy DeVito, Holt Naylors, thank you. Adrian Martinez.
Shout out Mountaineer Ross.
Jake Fromm.
And that was against South Alabama.
I know. Malcolm Perry.
Wait, did you say Jake Fromm?
No. Caleb Evans.
Did he say Jake Fromm?
No, I didn't. Justin Herbert.
I think you said Jake Fromm.
Trevor Lawrence, surprisingly.
Well, because they just needed to hand the ball off, and they
were
and they won.
And and Brandon Wimbush. So thank God I zigged.
He was a disappointment.
I mean, 22 points against Florida A&M.
I think it's the same thing though. They get a 2-touchdown lead and they just hand the ball off.
Right, but okay. So his line: 23 attempts, 12 completions.
Oh, that's bad.
For 168 yards.
Okay, that's bad.
2 touchdowns, 8 rushing attempts for 20 yards.
So against FAMU.
Against FAMU. So,
trivia question. Can you name FAMU's mascot?
No.
Some sort of.
Keith just instantly no.
Some sort of animal.
Oh, narrows it down.
Alligator or a snake or something?
They're the Rattlers. Nice.
Yes. Oh, nice.
Some kind of animal. Do you have that or a person?
So, also, shout out to the CFF champs.
Yeah.
Your weekly pages are amazing. I printed them all out today. So, I'm just going to.
The compilation's incredible.
Honestly, you guys do such great work. I'm going to hate how much money I'm going to end up giving you. But a couple of names that did well on their own in less than 50% of leagues. So, like, Jamie Newman. Thank you, Josh.
Yep. Jacob Newman. All right, that joke's done.
John Wasink. Western Michigan.
Wasink. That's, right? I'm not making a joke. It's Wasink.
Joe Burrow. Elijah Sindelar, Anthony Russo from Temple, got 40.
He sounds like an Italian chef.
I know, right? Jacob Eason, thank you. Logan Bonner, I almost said Boner because it's funny. Frank Harris,
put him on the same team with Michael Penix.
And let's see, Darius Wade from Bowling Green University, owning 0% of leagues, but got 34.9 points.
See if he can replicate that. Well, that's especially impressive because Jarrett, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Doge or Doge, or he transferred at the last minute, so Bowling Green was left scrambling for a starting QB.
Right.
So good for you.
Well, I mean, he got 253 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 42 yards using his feet, only sacked once.
Well.
So, I mean, they were playing Morgan State.
Yeah.
So you're like, but, I mean, that's still.
Granted.
Impressive
a lot
showing.
Of the MAC defenses that they will be playing aren't amazing defenses.
Right.
So if you can translate that to
if
the
you
later
are
weeks.
Hurting at quarterback, that when they get into the lead play, that might be somebody to stream.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a super flex spot like we do, which I'm thankful for.
For sure. My super flex. Who was my? I think I did B.J. Smith for Troy. He did really well. He got a touchdown and 150 yards.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Zach Thomas, App State. Got me like 25 points. So,
all right, take a quick break. We'll be back and talk week 2. We're back talking week 2. I have my week 2 watchability rankings here. Now that I'm actually prepared and didn't have to scramble and tweet it out after our show last week, so
we'll still tweet it out this week though.
Yeah, I can do that.
now that I have a physical piece of paper of it, I might just like take a picture of it and just post that shitty photo just for fun. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be? Just yeah. Like, hey, here's a random picture. Oh, watchability rankings are also in the background. Man, my sense of humor is something else, guys.
Yeah.
It's great. All right. Thursday, Friday games. You got Marshall versus Boise State on ESPN2. And then you got Wake Forest versus Rice on CBS Sports Network. All these times and channels are courtesy of LSUfootball.net. They have a master schedule that does every game, FCS and FBS, time and TV network. So mm-hmm. The Saturday early slate, do not miss this game. Cincinnati, Ohio State at ABC, Vandy versus Purdue on Big Ten Network, and West Virginia, Missouri on ESPN2. The could surprise us games, Ohio versus Pitt, ACC Network, Syracuse versus Maryland, ESPN, South Florida versus Georgia Tech, ACC Network. The because you're watching another game category.
Waiting on another game.
Because you're waiting on another game. Thank you. Sorry.
It's right in front of you.
Yeah, I know, but I changed the categories from last year to this year. I'm still adjusting.
Okay.
It's week one for all of us, Keith. Old Dominion versus Virginia Tech, ESPNU, and Rutgers versus Iowa, FS1. And the I mean it's still football category. Bowling Green versus Kansas State, Fox Sports Local, UAB versus Akron, CBS Sports, and NIU versus Utah, Pac-12 Network. So no one's going to watch that one. The afternoon slate, don't miss this game. Nebraska, Colorado, 3:30 Fox. Texas A&M, Clemson, 3:30 ABC. That's far and away the game of the week. So I know game day is going to LSU versus Texas. So my prediction was incorrect in that regard, but it is what it is. The could surprise us category, San Diego State, UCLA, Pac-12 Network. Louisiana Monroe versus Florida State, ACC Network. Because you're waiting on another game. Southern Miss versus Mississippi State, ESPNU. Charlotte, App State, ESPN+. And the I mean, it's still football category. Keith, Central Michigan Chippewas versus Wisconsin, Big Ten Network. UTSA versus Baylor, Fox Sports Local. New Mexico State, Alabama, SEC Network. Illinois, UConn, CBS Sports Network. Side note, Alabama is a 55-point betting favorite.
Still take the over.
And I expect them to cover entirely. And the primetime / late night slate, the don't miss this game, Arkansas Ole Miss, just because that's going to be a cacophony of errors, SEC Network. LSU Texas, ABC. This will be a really good determinant of whether Texas
is back.
Go Tiger. Cal Washington, FS1. Minnesota Fresno State, CBS Sports Network. And Oregon State Hawaii, Facebook. The could surprise us category. BYU Tennessee, ESPN. North Texas SMU, ESPN3. EMU versus Kentucky, SEC Network alternate. So good luck. Nevada.
Going to Nevada.
Nevada, Oregon, Pac-12 Network, and Miami, UNC, ACC Network. So I combined Nevada and Miami. Yeah. Nevada. That's great. And then
Quit crushing Natty's in Nevada.
Vatty light, baby. Stanford, USC is the last one on ESPN. I only had that it could surprise us just because Stanford is very boring and USC is starting a freshman quarterback. The because you're waiting on another game category, UCF versus FAU at CBS Sports Network, Wyoming versus Texas State on ESPN+. That probably should be it's still football category, but whatever. Buffalo, Penn State on Fox, Western Michigan, Michigan State on Big Ten Network, and Arkansas State, UNLV on Facebook. And the last category, I mean, it's still football. Tulane versus Auburn, ESPN2, UTEP, Texas Tech on Fox Sports Network, Coastal Carolina, Kansas on ESPN+, Puka Williams back, Tulsa and San Jose State on ESPN3. Clear game of the week, LSU, Texas, and A&M, Clemson.
Yep.
Hands down. Oh, Michigan does play Army at noon, but I don't include them on the watchability rankings because I already have the nervous squirts.
I don't know why you're so nervous, Bill.
We won't talk. We're not a Michigan podcast. We're a fantasy football podcast.
I do want to give a quick shout out to UConn Thieve, though. Because he picked up. Because
UConn won a game.
Matched all of last year's win total. Good job, UConn.
Yes. They not only won a game, but he also made a very intelligent fantasy move.
Attaboy, Thieve.
He claimed Anthony Gordon from Washington State.
Yeah, that was the last minute savior right there because he had an insanely good game.
420 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Not bad.
His QB rating was 156.3. Who's Washington State play this week?
Can't wait to hear Zach talk about this guy, one of the Heisman.
He hand me the master schedule there, yeah. Please start.
They play Northern Colorado.
That's why they're not in the watchability rankings.
Yep.
Side note, the watchability rankings are for FBS games only. FBS versus FBS, I should say. Yeah, that's a good pickup there, FIVO.
Yeah. So if you'll allow me, can I run through some quick injuries from this past weekend?
Please do.
Okay. Obviously, we went over quarterbacks. JT Daniels is out. Shai Wertz from Georgia Southern left the game in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He's questionable. KJ Costello.
Shai Wertz is now rocking the season-long negative fantasy total. Right. So that's rare right there.
KJ Costello, we are still looking for him.
<It's> missing. I hope he's not like critically injured because I will feel bad for making that joke.
As far as running backs go, Connor Slomka did not play. Undisclosed injury. So
that means ball.
/ suspension.
Josh Kelly did not play from UCLA.
Oh, really, Keith? Then no, thanks. Bastard.
Reggie Corbin and Mike Epstein. Still a woman. Both left the game early.
Mike Epstein's out for the year now, too.
Yeah. Isaiah Bowser left the Stanford game with a knee injury.
Just dropped him.
Jared Doakes. Am I just reading your team?
Basically,
it sounds like it.
Okay. Jared Doakes from Cincy left the game with a knee injury. Michael Warren is probably going to pick up a lot more carries.
And he was looking kind of dinged up as they finished that game on Thursday, too.
Cameron Peoples from App State left with a leg injury. Marcus McElroy, ankle injury. BJ Emmons fractured his ankle.
Oof. And FAU's got to play UCF this week.
Mm-hmm. Wesley Kennedy is suspended. Travensky Mosley from Southern Miss. Sorry,
Watching Keith's face try to process that was hilarious.
Was seen on crutches, so that could just be a preemptive thing to reduce swelling. But just look out for that. And Patrick Taylor is probable at this point. He limped off on the last drive, but it didn't look anything too serious. I don't think there are a ton for wide receivers. Trey Turner left with a hamstring injury. Thanks, Trey. Juwan Johnson did not play from Oregon. Donovan Peoples-Jones was absent as well.
Walking boot.
Yeah. Kirk Merritt left after the second series. Chris Autumn Bell has a leg injury.
Kirk Merritt, is he Arkansas State?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, he didn't play for me.
That makes my Omar Bayless pickup look even better.
Yep. And Damon Hazleton did not play with a hamstring injury out of Vatek.
Don't call them Vatek, Keith. They don't like that.
I will not say what I was singing. And tight ends don't really matter, but Cheyenne O'Grady missed last game from Arkansas.
UConn Feeve asked me if you should drop Cheyenne O'Grady. I said, I don't know.
You don't know? Well, I mean, if he wants to drop Cheyenne O'Grady.
I mean, Arkansas is going to be one of the worst teams in the SEC, and they have to play, A&M, Mississippi State, Alabama, Auburn, LSU.
Sounds like a relatively easy schedule.
Yeah.
So you've got to feed. If you're looking for somebody, Jason Pirtle from North Texas had 3 receiving touchdowns last game.
And he's listed as a wide receiver / tight end.
Mm-hmm, so you can play him in both.
That's huge.
Yep. Other than that, Giovanni Ricci from Western Michigan is also a decent pickup with 2 touchdowns last week.
A boom.
Again, thank you, CFF Champs.
Shout out, CFF Champs. Josh, you want to do your lines?
Yeah, let's do some lines.
Betting lines, not cocaine.
Because I'm going to start.
We don't do drugs.
So. I'm going to start putting real money down.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
It'll just give us better content. And I'm willing to put down money each week for content. So
that's how it starts.
I'll start, but you know what? It is what it is.
Next we know, Josh is going to be selling his flat screen TV to fund his betting.
We all work in minor league baseball. We have money. It's no object here. All right, we got money to blow. So all right, let's get at it. What do we got?
There's some weird ones out there this week. First things first, Maryland is favored against Syracuse.
Saw that.
I don't know how.
By 2? Probably only because it's in Maryland. And I'm going to take Syracuse.
Is that one of your actual bets?
I'm going to have to figure out.
How many are you going to do?
So I'm going to do $25 this week. I'm going to bet $25. I don't know if I should do five different games at $5 a game or if I should do even smaller bets and get more games.
No.
And maybe 10 for 250, something like that.
Okay. You'll have to walk me through this actual part because I've never actually put real money on any game. So you have $25 in your account.
Yeah.
Is there a minimum number that you can – a minimum dollar amount you can bet on a single game?
Yeah, usually on sites there is. I think it just depends on the site.
Okay.
When you bet like 50 cents to me, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, because you're netting like, what, 60 yeah, cents? 60 cents. Hey,
yeah, so,
shout out Biggie Smalls. Don't make dollars, don't make sense.
The more money you bet, the more you win, obviously. So.
And obviously we don't condone gambling. Knowing your limits is always the best bet.
It's not gambling if you know you're going to win. So. Yeah.
I prefer not to call it gambling. It's predicting outcomes.
Throwing money away.
Yeah.
No, just predicting outcomes.
Okay. People do it.
Okay.
Millions of people do it. All right.
What do we got? Are you going to look at just like, okay, this line's attractive. Are you going to do all $25 or like only depending on?
I'll probably do this first week and kind of see how it goes. Like I'm not going to be in the mood to lose $25 a week, but if it goes well.
I hope so.
Yeah. But if it goes well, you know. We'll keep it going. So I think
still haven't called Rosanna back, right?
Shout out.
She's my financial advisor. She's great.
Well, I'm gonna do. I figured this week I'm gonna do five games.
$5 bets.
$5 bets. The five most attractive lines to me.
Okay. What is the payout, or does it depend on the line?
Most of them it'll be like 530. So like the five you put in plus 530, so you get 10. So I could essentially come out with a little over double. So I can come back. If I get all five, like $50-something dollars.
So I thought that would be like, if you bet five, you win $5.30. So you just like...
Oh, no. Yeah, that's not... That wouldn't be worth it.
Incrementally.
That wouldn't be worth it.
Okay. I mean, it might be if it's like a straight up Alabama or New Mexico State.
Yeah, but straight up, they don't give you those odds, though. Too bad.
If you get 10,000 to one on anything, you take it.
Take it.
I haven't done a whole lot of in-depth research on the lines here this week. But one that sticks out to me is the Syracuse plus two against Maryland. Like, Maryland beat Howard. All right, let's pump the brakes here. We don't know anything about Maryland. That's all I'll say.
That was one of the more attractive ones to me, too. Got to be the only reason Maryland's favoring this game is because it's in Maryland.
You know, it's a wild one to me. Clemson is still a 17.5-point favorite over Texas A&M.
Yeah.
A&M's the top 10 team.
I know. I saw that. One of their O-linemen's guaranteed to win.
Like, I don't go that far.
He
2.5 touchdowns? Like, come on. Yeah. That's insane.
That's one of the ones I'm looking at. I think there's one I'm looking at Wake Forest Rice right now. Wake Forest is a 19-point favorite. I'll probably take... If I took something like that, I'd probably go with Rice.
Never bet on the team that you root for, Josh.
I know. That's why I'm saying I'd probably bet against the team that I was rooting for.
Never bet against. Don't. Just avoid it. Just root like a fan.
All right, fine. We'll see. I don't.
It's your money, Josh.
No, you said it was the show's money.
That was starting with three.
Just kidding. All right.
Stanford is a 2.5-point dog against USC.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go Stanford in that one. USC, obviously, true freshman quarterback.
It is in LA though, so take that as you may.
Stanford plays fine at USC. So that's one. Another one, Cincinnati plus 16.5 in Columbus.
Ohio State never covers.
And Cincinnati's good.
They are.
That's one that I'm looking at, but it's always betting against Ohio State.
Then you know,
you know,
next week will be the week that Ohio State opens up and scores 70.
Yep.
Iowa's a 20-point favorite against Rutgers.
Yeah, give me Iowa on that one.
That might be a good one.
In Iowa, I would take Iowa that all day. Rutgers looks absolutely terrible, which is a surprise to nobody. Keith, look at Keith.
Keith's about to fall. Are you going to take Bama at 55?
If I took someone, it'd be Bama 55, yes.
You know what the hilarious part of this one is? It's a 55-point spread, and the over-under is at 64. So that's basically
saying Bama wins like 63-0 to cover. Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah, and that could very, very, very well happen.
Like, that's such a tight window. If you take Alabama to cover and the under, that's that only gives you 9 points of wiggle room right there. That'd be great.
Any other ones that I'm looking at?
Wyoming is a touchdown favorite against Texas State.
That's I don't know enough about Texas State. I know Wyoming beat Missouri, but that's really all I know. I wouldn't feel confident enough to bet on that one. I'm probably looking at some of the bigger ones here. Nebraska is a 4-point favorite on the road against Colorado. That's an interesting one to me.
Keith is completely checked out.
Yeah, he's looking in binoculars right now.
At us from 3 feet away.
Bill, your skin looks amazing.
I want to let Keith choose one of my games for me.
Thanks. Okay, give me a line.
Let's get him involved in the betting over here. So you give him some lines. He'll choose one of my games for me this week.
Arkansas, Ole Miss. Ole Miss is favored by 7.
Oof, with the way they played.
That's kind of an unfair one because it's
too early. Yeah, I'm too close. I'm too close because I'm mad at Mr. Corral. So.
Okay, let's do a different one. LSU and Texas.
Okay, what's the line?
LSU is a 5.5-point favorite.
Yep. Taking LSU?
Taking LSU.
I like that. That'll be one of mine. I will take LSU.
Mm-hmm. Watch LSU win by 4 now.
Oh. Wait, this game's in Austin?
Correct.
Oh, see the site I am on right now? Okay. All right. That's Keith's pick. That's Keith's lock pick for me.
That's my lock.
All right. Keith's lock is LSU minus 6.5.
Oh, that one's 6.5?
Yeah, this one says 6.5.
Okay. Oh. I use a different site, apparently. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I have not done enough research to do my locks yet, unfortunately. My apologies.
It's okay, but Bill.
Well, looking,
you can tweet them out.
Off the cuff here. I'd say no, I don't want to do off the cuff. Jeez, there are some low over-unders this week. Minnesota-Fresno, over-under 46.5. Cal-Washington, over-under 43.
Western-Michigan-Michigan State, over-under 46.5.
Stanford-USC, over-under 46.5. Miami-UNC, over-under 48.5. That might be a lock over. There's another one. UNC is a 4.5-point dog against Miami.
I'm probably still taking...
Can you double-check? I don't know if I wrote that one down right.
What time did they play?
They're late Saturday.
UNC, Miami. Okay, 4. Miami is a 4-point favorite against North Carolina on the road.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one, but because North Carolina looked better than advertised, Miami looked not great. And if the quarterback play stays the same, North Carolina might be a team to look at there.
It's very possible.
Well, I'll make my picks here. We'll get my bets out. We'll get Keith's lock in. We'll monitor for the weekend, see how those go.
Okay.
For our league, we got some enticing matchups. I'm playing Gumby. We're both 1-0. Bree and Evan are facing off at both 0-1, which is a shock because they have two of the better teams and had two of the higher scores, but neither won. Sparty Matt is taking his highest scoring team against the lowest scoring team, fighting Neil Browns.
Mountaineer there we go.
Ross.
So upset alert.
Prepare that booty.
Putting Sparty Matt on upset alert.
Jimmy is playing Keith this week. Let's hope.
It's going to be a tough one.
Let's hope your guys show up a little more than they did last week.
A little bit more. God, my wife's.
Josh, you're facing John. John also is one of the higher scorers, but lost. And Dylan is playing UConn Thieve. So already we're going to have a pretty. A lot of parity within this league because the people who are 1-0 are playing the really good 0-1 teams.
Well, on that note, I'm going to go looking at some of my matchups. A lot of my better players, Spencer Saunders, Tylan Wallace, J.J. Taylor, all of those guys are playing Northern Arizona's, McNeese State, Charlotte. Zach Thomas is playing Charlotte. And now John, some of his better players – you got Michael Warren's playing Ohio State. Colin Johnson's playing LSU. LaVisca Chenault's playing Nebraska.
So the matchups are really favorable for you this week.
As long as the guys stay in, get their stats earlier, stay in for the whole game.
You know what? I have the opposite luck. Gumby has D.R. King against Prairie View, Khalil Tate against Northern Arizona, Keyshawn Vaughn against Purdue, CeeDee Lamb against San Diego, Tamori and Terry against UL Louisiana Monroe, and Charlie Brewer against UTSA. So, sweet. My team's going to have to just perform to their absolute potential to beat Gumby this week. Keith's about to fall asleep, so I think we should probably call it a day.
Sorry, guys. I'm just trying not to poop myself right now.
On that note, rate, review, subscribe. Take your friend, spouse, parent, pet, smartphone, and subscribe to Preferred Talk Guns on Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcast.
Just do it.
Tweet us a question at I can never remember our freaking handle.
Tweeted at you.
PTO underscore podcast. Or email us at theptopodcast@gmail.com. That's THEPTOPODCAST @gmail.com.
Ooh, that was scary right there. I saw the wheels turning.
I started to stumble there. gmail.com.
There you go.
See you next week.